From our studios in Nashville, Tennessee, we bring you Ask WWCR, a bi-weekly program that discusses the operation of WWCR and various topics of interest to all shortwave listeners. And now, here's the current edition of Ask WWCR.
Welcome to Ask WWCR. This is program number 605, which is intended for broadcast March 7th through 21st, 2026. My name is Brady Murray, and once again, I'm joined by Zach here in the studio. Zach, how's it going?
Good. Hey, Brady.
A little bit different circumstances than the last time we produced a program, right?
Much different.
I think that was January 24th, a Saturday.
Yeah.
And you were here, and I was here. And I think that we produced that in the late afternoon.
It's been very busy between then and now.
That particular program, as the weather system that we were going to get either way started to become, there was a little bit more clarity to it.
Yes.
Might have been snow, might have been rain, might have been ice. And then as it got closer, it looked more and more like we were going to get a bunch of ice.
Yeah.
And it's weird, just such a weird storm overall, because do you remember it started out with that fine powder snow?
Yeah, I remember when we were knocking it off of our vehicles, there was a nice hard shell of ice on the top, and once you broke through, it was it was like a dipped ice cream cone, you know? It was just all soft powder underneath.
And we had rain.
Yes.
Mixed in there, which, like, this is some hope. We have some rain, you know, that maybe that'll do something, you know, to melt the ice, whatever the question might be.
And stayed cold, so it never melted.
What happened was we stayed here. We had four of us here through the night, and the ice came.
Mm-hmm.
Something that the estimate, I think, is about 3/4 of an inch of ice in this area. And throughout the night, what happened is we had, between the four of us, delegated, you know, kind of like day shift, night shift.
Right.
And so I was one who went to sleep at night, and I woke up several times, right? And every time I could feel the heat blowing, and I thought, you know, everything's good. Well, ice was just loading up on the antennas, and as that happens, you have to reduce the power to stay on air. And around 6 o'clock in the morning, local time on Sunday, power just went out. And we looked at our electric service provider's numbers online, and the first thing I saw was, I think, 77,000 customers without power. And it pretty quickly went up to about 200,000.
Yeah, I remember you refreshing the web page about every 30 seconds to a minute, and whoever was running that site at NES was really, like, on top of it, because, I mean, every time you refreshed, it was just huge jumps in numbers of people out.
Grew. And I think the total number of customers that Nashville Electric Service has is about 400 to 450,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in their service area, the total number of folks without power, the meters, not people affected, the meters, the customers, you know, one customer could potentially be an apartment building.
Right.
Or a business or whatever. So many more people than this were affected, but 240,000, I think it topped out at, as being without power. Some of those folks had power back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
We may have Sunday into Monday night, we may have had power back.
Right.
The fact was, when we decided, you know, we didn't have the resources to continue to do what we were doing, which involved keeping, we have a plumbing system, obviously, to keep the transmitters cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we drained the water so that it didn't freeze, and we had heaters, kerosene heaters, under each of our heat exchangers, because water can't escape those.
Yeah.
And we knew that if it stayed frozen for a long time without power, you know, without the transmitter running, that those were going to freeze up. And we had a really good supply, but with those numbers of customers growing, it was pretty bleak.
Yes.
We weren't going to be, we just didn't have what we needed to stay on the air. So At about noon that day, it was about 32 degrees and icy and somewhat passable. The city of Nashville did a really good job of treating everything to the best of their ability. And so Greg just went home. We said, Greg, you got a decision to make here. Because if we're sitting here for a long time without power, you know, we don't have anything but some sandwich meat, right? And, you know, we could all sit here at the radio station and freeze to death. We could take our chances at our homes and see if you have power there. I think he confirmed that he had power. He had a very brief outage. When you left, you actually found out that where you live had power.
We didn't
right?
lose power at all. And I think I can accredit that to where I live. There's not a lot of trees. And so there was nothing for the trees to just, you know, get loaded with ice and collapse onto any power lines near me. So we didn't really lose any power, which, by the way, when those trees fall, I'd never heard that before in my life. I was napping and I just heard pow, pow, pow.
There was a phenomenon with the ground, like ice in the ground too.
Yeah.
That was like a little mini quake. Those were being reported all over.
But yeah,
it was a catastrophic storm, no doubt. And for the following week, like I said, it's possible that we had power sometime late Monday night. It was totally confirmed by our engineer Tuesday about 3 o'clock local time that there was power back at the building. The problem was that when we left, it was, like I said, about 32 degrees, and we felt like this is our best chance to get somewhere if we're going to get somewhere outside of this building.
Right.
And over the next several days, our high temperatures were like 10 degrees Fahrenheit or less. So the deep freeze was on at that point. Everything that had fallen from the sky was there, and it wasn't going to go anywhere, right? So obviously our heat exchangers were just, you know, the ice built up in them and shot through it like bullets. Through three of them, right? So now we have no ability to, at this point in time, we had no ability to cool our transmitters, which meant we can't turn them on. And there were several other problems to deal with, too. But we got our AM stations back up and running on Tuesday. And I remember getting that call from Phil. And I thought, that's good news. But also, you know, what in the world do we do with this news? Because outside of Phil, who lives close by, and he had downed trees that some person, like maybe a neighbor, had just cut an opening to drive through.
Good Samaritan.
So he was able to get here. You were able to get here sometime later. You lived fairly close and just kind of in the city, and I'm sure it wasn't a fun drive. But we absolutely had we had people with prolonged power outages, like a week or more. And when they're in their home with no power and no ability to leave, the ice built up, trees are down. The first week after the initial storm hit, really, I hate to say it, but it was just kind of a scratch for WWCR, because what are we going to do, right? The people that you need to have at work, the people you need to get help from, they probably can't leave either. I couldn't return to the radio station until Thursday after getting home on Sunday. That was my first successful trip out. I tried every day. I couldn't get it because of the ice. And there's just a lot we could talk about. I want to say that as of this recording, our transmitters are back on the air. They're back on the air with one heat exchanger. I want to make sure I say this. Our former engineer, Jason Cooper, pointed us in the direction of a local television station that happened to have a decommissioned heat exchanger. So by the end of the second week, we had a heat exchanger, and our transmitter 3 was back up and running.
Right.
And that took quite an effort, but it worked. And it was just gifted to us. We had to get a crew to get it and plumb it back up. And from there, the other two heat exchangers had to be constructed. And how in the world do you do that when you can't get a heat exchanger? To order one, it takes 9 weeks to expect delivery of it, right? So Phil constructed something that's basically cooled by the main transmitter blower, of which we had two available to us. And so we had to give Phil time to figure out, you know, what could possibly work. And we built it, and it seems to work well enough. And then based upon that, we ordered some of those same parts. And again, you know, they don't come assembled. There's a lot of soldering of the plumbing.
Yes.
A lot of carpentry work that goes into getting these things to where you can contain the mm-hmm. airflow. And so they're working. I will admit that as the temperatures get hotter, which strangely enough happened quickly after this ice storm.
Yeah, within
right?
like 3 or 4 days, yeah.
Well, in the last week for sure. We just mm-hmm. we set a record yesterday as we're recording this at 85 degrees, the earliest day in the history of Nashville to have been at 85 degrees.
Wow.
So it's going to be tough for our so-called Frankenstein, you know, piece together heat exchangers
yeah.
to handle that kind of heat. I don't know if that's going to be something that we expect every day until the new ones are delivered, but they have been ordered. They're on the way, and we're in as good a shape as we can be for something that was so catastrophic. It took 3 weeks to have an insurance adjuster come in and just observe what had happened
right.
in our place, right? And we really needed that to happen because those parts just aren't cheap. And we really needed to know if this was going to be something that we could count on, you know, our insurance policy to cover, yeah. right? Because it's just not cheap. And I think that we're going to be fine. I think it's going to be a waiting period to do that. In the meantime, we are back on the air, and we're getting a lot of positive feedback. But, Zach, if you've got anything to comment on about this, in addition to what I have to say, I do want to say this. We got email and telephone service back pretty quickly.
Yes. Right?
And we heard from a lot of people. And this is my perspective. You've got a much better sense of humor than I do. But my perspective was it, you know, maybe you can add some, you know, some levity to this. But I was just humbled by the people that were reaching out to say that they were praying for the people who worked here, you know,
Absolutely,
praying for the
yes.
people who were affected by it inside of WWCR, and that, you know, they were going to continue to be WWCR listeners mm-hmm. and they were going to wait, that they understood that this was a terrible thing that had happened.
Yeah.
And just wanted to reach out and let us know. But the personal aspect of it that came from people we've never met, that probably had never contacted us before, that listen all the time, like a lot of radio listeners do.
Right.
They're content to listen. Why call and bother folks? I'm listening to a radio program I like.
Yeah.
But those people who reached out, not just listeners, broadcasters too.
Yeah.
But
no.
that really helped us to kind of, at least to speak only for myself, really helped me to think about how can we do anything that we can do as quickly as we can do it to get back on the air, because there's yeah. people out here who really depend upon WWCR in their daily lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No broadcasters were irate, or, you know, they were just concerned really with us and mm-hmm. getting the show back on the air. We all have the same goal in mind. So I know Brother Joe, especially, he's got a pretty frequent call-in show. It's like
yes.
every time he'd call in, we'd update him. And the situation was so rapidly evolving from day to day that we did have a new update for him every time he'd call in.
As you know, Zach, we could talk about this for a week. We've only got 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to get people an update on Ask WWCR, both online and on air. And that's all the time we've got for this round. And we'll try to keep you updated as more progress occurs. All right?
All right.
Thanks for being here again.
Ask WWCR is a biweekly presentation of WWCR Incorporated. If there are questions you would like to have answered during the show, send them to Ask WWCR, 1300 WWCR Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee, 37218, USA. You can also send an email to askwwcr@wwcr.com. No email attachments, please. That's askwwcr@wwcr.com. Be listening for your questions to be answered on future editions of Ask WWCR.